Christmas decorations conversation is starting some debate, I have to say. One listener here says it's never too early. All right. Another one here says it's way too early. The good has gone out of Christmas. It just goes on for months. Let each season have its own time. And another one in here says that one particular supermarket in the county had their Christmas decorations up on the 3rd of October. It's absolute madness. Have to say, I am of the opinion, just for what it's worth, that December is when the Christmas decorations, any earlier than that, is too early. You can't get in the mood. But what the psychoanalyst was saying is that some people, if they leave it until December, it all stresses them out and it all builds up and piles up in December with the decorations and getting everything organised. So what he's suggesting is that if we start a bit earlier, we wouldn't be as stressed. But I don't think it'd be Christmas if you weren't stressed. Everyone has to get stressed around Christmas, don't they? Right, keep the messages coming in anyway. 0833 97 97 97. Margaret Walsh is on the line of the Shackleton Museum in Athy. Morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
Would you be a Christmas decoration woman before December, or do you think it has to be December for decorations go up?
Definitely December.
Yeah, good woman. Yeah. Fair play to you.
Yeah.
Same
yeah.
as
yeah.
me.
No.
Come
it's
here.
The atmosphere for it.
We're talking to you this morning as part of our County Kildare Leader Partnership social enterprise interviews. We've spoken to a number of different organisations so far, and this time it's the turn of the Shackleton Museum in Athy. Tell us a little bit about yourselves, Margaret. You've been on this programme a number of times before, but obviously the clue is in the name, a museum dedicated to Sir Ernest Shackleton.
Yes, yes. We were actually set up in 1998, so it goes as far back as that. And even previously before that, I was in Little Hall in Athy. And so the really founders of it would have been Frank Taff, and there would have been an awful lot of other people with him as well. But in 1998, anyway, it was set up as a tourist office and heritage centre. But then we embarked on the standard museum standard programmes of Ireland, which actually brings you on par with all museums internationally and nationally. So in 2016, then we got full museum status, which allows us to actually loan and borrow artefacts from all over the world, which we have done in previous years. So, and our main unique selling point would be the Shackleton. And then also we cover a lot of the local history to do with Athy as well, including World War One and the Gordon Bennett and the Grand Canal as well, because it's actually a community-run museum. So a lot of it then is based on what happened around the area in Athy. But for this now, as our unique selling point would be the Shackleton, because we're the only permanent exhibit in the world to Ernest Shackleton, and we're the only ones that would have a lot of his artefacts, original yeah. artefacts, dealing with his expeditions as well. So that's he was an explorer, as everyone knows, and he was from South County Kildare. He's an icon to everyone that's local and international.
Absolutely, and I've made no secret of it on the programme before that I'm a huge admirer of what he did, and I've a huge interest in his life and times, and I've been down to the museum in Athy on a number of occasions, and it's absolutely fascinating. You are a social enterprise as well, Margaret. What does that mean in when it comes to the Shackleton Museum? You mentioned there that it's community run and you have a lot of people within the community that work there.
Yeah, well, social enterprise, we would be a community enterprise, and we'd have it's actually run by a board, but they're all voluntary as well. We would have volunteers as well that would actually come in and help out for different events that are happening as well. So it's very much community based, definitely, and that's why you would have an awful lot of the history and artefacts relating to things that would have happened in Athy and in surrounding areas as well. We're a not-for-profit organisation as well, so we depend a lot on people actually buying tickets and donations into the museum as well, and raising funds as well would be another thing that we'd have to do a lot of. We'd have to apply for various grants to actually run events as well. So we don't make a profit. As I say, we're a not-for-profit organisation. So, and you know, we actually promote anything that happens in the town. So we would actually promote any of the tourist attractions in the town as well, like the Blue Way that's going to is happening now at the moment. And also like any of the local artists in town as well, and local art. Local crafts as well would be something that we'd actually have in stock in the shop as well. So it's kind of like a circular economy, if you get me. You were trying to promote and help and kind of get revenue into the town to help actually the town be prosperous as well.
And we're getting to your busy period now, so to speak, with the 22nd Ernest Shackleton Autumn School taking place this weekend. Tickets to attend the school are now available. This year's event is a big occasion, as of course it's the 100-year anniversary of Shackleton's death, and it includes a series of lectures, an exhibition, the annual dinner, a drama and a bus tour around Shackleton's countryside. The last time we spoke to you, Margaret, I think was 2 or 3 weeks ago, tickets were flying out the door on that occasion. I'd say it's probably close to a sellout at this stage, is it?
Yes, it is actually. Yeah. Some of the lectures are sold out, like Menson Bonds is sold out. That's the man that actually was involved in the unearthing or the discovery of the Endurance Wreck. So his is sold out at the moment. And we'd have a few others that are sold out as well. The dinner is sold out as well. So anyone hoping to go for the dinner in the Green Barn, and the Green Barn is a great supporter of the school as well, that's sold out as well. The bus tour now on the Sunday actually was a great hit this year. So we have an awful lot of local people actually doing that this year, and families, which is great, because that brings them around actually the Shackleton countryside, we call it. So it goes around to Ballator and Castledermot and back around. And it's a guided tour as well by John McKenna and Frank Taff. People can still inquire with us, though. We're taking phone calls and we're still taking actually inquiries and some bookings as well in relation to some of the lectures that are still left. So please do still contact us, and we also have a cancellation list. So you'll be put onto the cancellation list. We're trying not to make people be too disappointed, but this year definitely has gone down immensely successful, and the overseas visitors are going to be coming into the town as well. We've got about, the Fram Museum directors are coming over from Norway. We've also got people coming over from England, and we've got people from Germany, America, and then we have from France as well.
And it's great for the economy as well, locally in Athy, to have people coming over and staying in the town and spending their money in the town as well. So it has that knock-on effect also,
definitely.
Margaret.
And yes,
I know, as I mentioned, the events take place from this Friday, 28th of October, to Sunday, 30th of October. You can register by booking your tickets online on shackletonmuseum.com, or you can download the registration form that's on the website, or email info@shackletonmuseum.com. So that's where you get more information. And look, Margaret, as we say, the Shackleton Museum is just one part or one element of the Athy Heritage Museum. There's so much else there that people can go and have a look at that takes in local history from the surrounding areas.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, and we're open all year round, so people can actually they can pre-book, but they can come. We're taking walk-ins as well. So it's, as I say, we're open from 10 to 1, 2 to 5, Monday to Friday, and then we're on request at the weekends for anyone that can't avail of us during the week.
Great stuff. Well, Margaret Walsh is of the Shackleton Museum in Athy. Thanks for joining us on the programme this morning, Margaret, and thanks indeed to County Kildare Leader Programme for organising this interview in terms of social enterprises. And good morning to you, Margaret.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Mary in Rathangan sent in a message to say, good morning. Christmas is my favourite time of the year. It's a person's own choice when they put up their Christmas decorations. It might light up people's lives. No one knows what reasons people have, and no one can judge. It's a happy family time for most, and I think it makes the home warm and welcoming. That's me personally, says Mary, and everyone of course has their own views. For myself, it's always the Sunday nearest the 8th of December, she says, and it doesn't come down until after Little Christmas. Christmas, the 6th of January. Thanks for that message, Mary, and very well said. Teresa in Kilcullen says, I put my decorations up every year for the toy show, while Ollie was in touch to say Christmas decorations don't go up before the 8th of December. Now, on the line, we have Jackie McNabb, Head of Enterprise with the local enterprise office here in Kildare. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, and thanks a million for having me on.
No problem at all. We're talking to you this morning because local enterprise offices in Kildare, Meath and Wicklow have partnered to launch a postgraduate programme in innovation and enterprise development, which is accredited by Trinity College Dublin. It's based in the Merits Building, which is the Mid-East region's innovation think space. Tell us a little bit more, Jackie, about what this is and how it came about.
Oh, it's a very exciting opportunity to be able to bring the calibre of this programme to Naas and into our Merits Building, which is adjacent to the County Council building here in Áras Kildare. It was a discussion I had with the Tangent Deliverers, that's the Innovation Think Space in Trinity University, about bringing the programme out to the region. So we're collaborating with our offices in Meath and Wicklow, and those three counties create the Mid-East region, and for 20 weeks next year the programme will be delivered in part on site here in Naas and the other part online. But it gives business owners, business employees the opportunity to get access to the programme without having to travel into the city, which, you know, is a great attraction for such a programme to happen. And I suppose with the struggles many businesses are having and the challenges they're having, there's never been a better time to look at innovative ways of maybe remodeling the business, looking at new processes or new products. And this programme is ideally set to support businesses to do that.
It is indeed. And Ken Finnegan, the CEO of Tangent, which is Trinity's ideas workspace, described Trinity as the number one university in Europe for producing entrepreneurs for the 7th consecutive year, adding that over the last 10 years, Trinity has invested €101.2 million equity-free into its students' startup. Now, this part-time course, Jackie, runs over 18 weeks and it starts from January and runs until June of next year.
Yes, absolutely. And I suppose really worth noting, this programme only costs €300. I mean, it's an incredible value at the moment to be able to access it locally and then for it to cost €300. Mm. The programme itself is part of a postgraduate qualification at a level 9, which is master's level. So anybody that would have aspired to getting a master's in any discipline could use part of this credit to buy their way in to further education at a grade 9 level. And I suppose we're trying here in the local enterprise office to encourage as many businesses to set time aside from the day-to-day activity in business to look at innovative practices and R&D in order to make them more competitive. And as I said, it may be simply looking at new product lines, a new marketing strategy, a new method of doing something, or just to invigorate the company or look at areas of value and growth, because everybody is under immense pressure with the challenges of the energy crisis, you know, the looming issues with using Britain as an exporter. This is the opportunity now to perhaps set those ideas in train that, you know, can assist people be more competitive and stay viable over the next 12 to 24 months in their business.
The course is funded by the Higher Education Authority under the Springboard Plus initiative. Places are limited and offered on a first-come, first-served basis. Classes will be delivered online, about 70% of classes online and 30% in person. And the course is now open for applications. And that kind of leads me on then to the next question, Jackie, in terms of what the course itself entails, because I know it's for a wide range of personnel, those seeking to develop an entrepreneurial mindset, those who want to take on a new career path, or those who want to upskill and progress within their current career.
Yeah, it's ideally, you know, those that are working in a company or own a company which would have some decision-making opportunities, because there's two particular projects involved it's a very practical program. One project is a theme project, and the other project is one you do yourself. And ideally, if you have access to an idea within a company, your best place to achieve high scoring, being able to implement it in the existing company you're in. There are three modules over the 20 weeks. One is in innovation and creativity, and it's about you and developing the skills yourself to look at innovative thinking. And then opportunity recognition. So looking at your organisation or a product line that you can actually have impact on. And that is all done online. And then enterprise development. So how you execute the idea that you've come to the table with. So the programme, rather than sitting exams at the end, the programme allows you to actually develop the idea, which you'll be marked on at the end of the 20 weeks. And obviously, you know, to have this kind of certification on a CV makes you a very attractive future employee also. Mm. So for owners of business or employees of business that want the opportunity to get this valuable skill, but I know that the employers I'm looking at all at the moment are looking at people who can think creatively and bring new ideas to a company and bring new opportunities to a company as well as their time.
And those in-person classes will be taking place in the Merits Building, which is located there at the offices of Kildare County Council on the Newbridge Road in Naas. Indeed, I was actually in around the Merits Building, and some fantastic facilities there that you have, Jackie, I have to say. If anybody wants to take part in this course, then, as we said, it runs from January to June of 2023. How can they apply and get in touch, Jackie?
Okay, and just before that, I just point out it's a part-time course, so Monday and Tuesday evenings. So ideally suited for those already in employment and have commitments. So Monday and Tuesday evenings, and they have two options. They can go online to www.tcd.ie, the Tangent Programme, and they're looking for innovation, enterprise development, or they can contact their own offices here at localenterprise.ie. Kildare.ie, and we'll give them all the details. But a fantastic opportunity at immense value and future-proof either your business or your career next year with partaking in this on your doorstep.
Yeah, it's a great initiative, and well done to the County Kildare leader or local enterprise office for getting involved with this, and to Trinity College Dublin for partnering on it. And the very best of luck to you, Jackie, and to all the participants on this course when it gets underway in January.
And thank you very much to KFM for always supporting these initiatives, because you're an important stakeholder for us, and look forward to telling you about the results of this particular programme.
Looking forward to it as well. That is Jackie McNabb, Head of Enterprise with the Local Enterprise Office here in Kildare. Thanks indeed for your time this morning, Jackie. Let's go to Ciara.
Good morning to Fine Gael Councillor Tracy O'Dwyer for the Kildare Newbridge MD. How are you today, Tracy?
I'm good, Ciaran. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you as always for joining us. You did ask about the consideration of installing a dedicated blue demarked accessible parking space. This is in front of On Charman in Kilcullen, enabling service users and then those less mobile to access and, of course, visit the gardens.
That's correct. And this request came to me from the Camp Hill community in Kilcullen. And I think it probably does make sense to have an accessible parking space outside On Charman. The request for an accessible parking space at Camp Hill seems to be a fairly reasonable request, and it would facilitate service users of Camp Hill, but also members of the public with reduced mobility, to park closer to the gardens, which will soon be open to the public after 2 years, which is great news as well. But I wasn't actually happy with the response I received from Kildare County Council at the meeting, and I confirmed that I had measured the road myself, but I'd actually got the road measured at both the On Charman location and at the existing accessible parking spaces. And in fact, the road is wider at On Charman, because at that location, you can only park on one side of the road as there are yellow lines the opposite side. So I asked if a member of the roads team could meet me at the location to assess in more detail and identify any possible technical reasons why this location can't be considered. And we can take it from there, and the council have agreed to meet me on site to review this request in more detail.
Now, Tracy, focusing on Two Mile House, you asked about the commencement of the legal land transfer process to ensure we are shovel ready, as you put it, should funding become available through the National Transport Authority to install a connecting path. That is from Dowdingstown Woods Estate to the village.
Yeah, this has been going on. Gosh, the residents of Dowdingstown Woods in Two Mile House have been waiting over 15 years at least for a path to connect them to the village, to allow children cycle and walk to school, but also to allow residents in Dowdingstown Woods to just go to the mass or go to church or go to the graveyard or just walk into the village. It is the only estate in Two Mile House where children can't walk or cycle to school because of the lack of a connecting path. And unfortunately, the road is just too unsafe along this section of road to walk safely to school. It's not a very long stretch. In fact, it's probably only a little over 100 metres, but it does require removing boundary walls from a number of properties along the road. However, I've met with all the homeowners and they very much want the path to go ahead and are very happy to play their part, having already agreed in principle to having a portion of their front gardens removed to facilitate the path. And what I was asking was that the council to do was to engage with the homeowners officially to ensure we're prepared in the event of funding becoming available. We hear all the time that it's crucial that a project be shovel ready when funding becomes available. And I wanted to ensure we had our ducks in a row in the event of the National Transport Authority providing connectivity funding. The response I received from the council was that there was no funding in place and that it could be revisited in 2023. But I was already aware that there was no funding in place and was really trying to make sure we were prepared should funding become available. However, at the meeting, following a discussion, the area engineer did agree to engage with the residents to get a clearer picture of what works would need to be done to reduce boundary walls and to make good the area should a path be installed. So I'll continue to explore this project because we're encouraging everyone to walk and cycle more. But if we don't put in the infrastructure, it's just not possible.
Now, Tracy, this area of Kildare, Newbridge, the Newbridge-Athgarvan area has been in the news so much in terms of a connection to the Liffey Linear Park, but we're heading in the direction of Kilbeelan Abbey to Walshestown Cross. You're asking the council about plans to install a connecting path from those two, bridging a gap between the two existing paths.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a very short stretch. Now, there are two trees there, tree stumps, not even trees. And it was just to see if you could connect from Kilbeelan Abbey to Walshestown Cross. Because at the moment, what's happening is people actually have to cross over the road to get back onto a path for literally, I'd say we're talking maybe less than 50 metres. It's a very small area. Now, I've engaged with the homeowners there as well. They're quite happy to just connect the path up, which would stop people having to cross over to get back onto a path and walk on into Newbridge. So again, you know, there were no plans to install a footpath at that location. But I think when I get the engineers out there, I think they will realise it's an easy little path to put in and it would make a huge difference to the residents of Kilbeelan Abbey. So I will continue to work on that one.
Tracy, thank you so much for joining me this morning. That is, of course, Tracy O'Dwyer of Fine Gael, councillor for the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District.
Thank you, Ciara.
Sports Review Monday on Kildare Today.
Yes, indeed. We'll be looking back at the local GAA action in terms of those clubs that were in Leinster Championship action over the weekend very shortly with Seamus Dillon. But first of all, there was a great photograph put up on the Kildare GAA's Twitter account over the weekend, and the Christy Ring, Nicky Rackard and Laurie Marr 2022 Team of the Year was named, and Ryan Boren from Naas and Brian Byrne from Naas were named on the team, as too was Clane's Paddy McKenna and Paul Dively of Confey. And James Burke was named a corner forward and also was given the Player of the Year accolade. And I'm delighted to say that James joins us on the line now. Good morning to you, James, and congratulations.
Good morning, Alan. Thanks a million.
I mean, it caps off what was a great year for the Kildare Hurlers this year, it has to be said. David Herity staying on and doing a fantastic job. And, you know, it all culminates now in yourself getting that personal accolade and yourself and the lads being named on the Team of the Year.
Yeah, no, it was a brilliant brilliant year for Kildare Hurling this year. Staying up and holding our Division 2A status in the league, and then pushing on and winning the Christy Ring then in June or wherever, and getting promoted to Joe McDonough. So yeah, it was nice for the five of us to get rewarded there on Friday night. It was a great night. So yeah.
And in many ways, people in the hurling circles here in Kildare would say that that's where Kildare should be, Division 2A at least, and certainly competing with the Joe McDonough teams as well. So it's great to be back now where many would feel as though you belong.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's the, you know, that's the talk within the group as well. We were disappointed in 2021 to get relegated. I think that year we were hurling in Division 2B in the league, and maybe that didn't stand to us. But now next year we're up at the higher level for the two of them. I suppose we're there to stay, and hopefully now we can get a good year. You know, we're really seeing the fruition of the underage work being put in by the games development officers in the development squads and all that, and all the different clubs. So yeah, no, hopefully we're here to stay and push on even further and progress Kildare Hurling even further.
And for yourself, during the campaign you scored a very impressive 144 in the five matches that Kildare played, and those other players that I mentioned, your NACE teammates Ryan Boren and Brian Byrne, Clane's Paddy McKenna and Paul Dively of Confey, they all had great campaigns too, but really any of the Kildare players could have been picked on that team, such was the quality of performances.
Yeah, no, definitely 100%. You know, I suppose if Champion 15 team the last couple of years has been combined between the Laurie Mar, Nicky Rackett and Christy Ring, but I've no doubt that if there was just a sole 15 from the Christy Ring, that we could have been like Limerick, say, last year in the actual All-Stars and had 10, 11, 12 players on the 15. So it was just, I suppose, it was nearly a lottery that the five of us got picked. As you said, it could have been nearly anyone.
Yeah, we're seeing a revival a little bit in hurling here in Kildare, and I was over at the county finals for the last number of years, and there's a huge crowds turning out. We're getting bigger crowds at Kildare hurling matches as well, which is great to see, because some would feel as though sometimes hurling is the poor relation of football in the county, but as I said, you know, with the younger players that are coming up, there's a lot more of an interest now.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. Even, I suppose, from 2019 in the first county final I played in, up until the most recent one, the crowds are getting bigger and bigger, and same with the inter-county games at Kildare. We're getting bigger crowds into Newbridge and a bigger travelling sport. I think, again, that's down to, again, the underage structures. You know, there's more kids playing at a younger age. You know, there's nearly probably 60 players involved in development squads, possibly even more at under 14, 15, 16. So they all have a natural interest now in Kildare hurling. I suppose credit has to go as well to the parents of those young lads who are pushing them and are bringing them to the matches as well. So, no, it's brilliant, and hopefully that growth keeps continuing and we get bigger and bigger crowds next year as well for Division 2A and John McDonough.
Absolutely. And just before we let you go then, James, to mention from the club point of view, NACE winning the county title again this year, heading now into a Leinster campaign, and the work that's been done in NACE GAA on the hurling and football point of view seems to be fantastic.
Yeah, no, it is. Again, it's all probably down to the underage structures that were put into the club in probably the last 10 years or so, and it's kind of coming to fruition now with the last four county hurling titles, and luckily two in a row in the football as well. So, no, it's been a nice 2 years for the club, and yeah, we're looking forward now to the games against Kilmacud, Crokes in the football, and Shinrón the hurling. They're two big tests, so we're looking forward to them now in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll be covering those games here on KFM, so the very best of luck to NACE in those Leinster games, and congratulations to you once again, James Burke, named as the Christy Ring Cup Player of the Year for 2022, scoring 144 during the five matches for Kildare in this year's campaign, and alongside him, as we have been mentioning this morning, on that team of the year, Ryan Boren, Brian Byrne, Paddy McKenna and Paul Dively. And James, thanks for joining us on the programme this morning. Seamus Dillon is on the line now to look back at the weekend sporting action. Good morning, Seamus.
Morning, Owen. Thank you. How are things?
Good, good. And just a comment there. I know you've been to a number of Kildare hurling games this year and to the NACE hurling games over the course of the year, as well as the footballers. And James Burke, really one of those standout players in all the games.
Yeah, absolutely. And can I offer my congratulations to the five lads that probably got to see Kildare hurling a lot more closer last year, and you know, those lads have to be complimented on the time and effort and the commitment that goes into it, and they're certainly reaping the rewards. And you know, the five of them were duly decided that the selection committee got them on that team of the year, and probably maybe Kildare might have been unfortunate maybe not to have had another one or two. But yeah, look at James, has been tremendous both hurling and football down the year, and himself and Brian Byrne, dual players there. It's great to see, and the future at hurling and at football level is excellent for Naas and for Kildare when you have guys like that on board.
Now, over the weekend, it was a bit of a mixed bag for Kildare clubs. Two wins on Saturday, two defeats, unfortunately, yesterday. But, I mean, Leinster can sometimes be viewed as bonus territory because these teams have gone out and won the county final, which is a great achievement. If we start off on Saturday then, Seamus, and with the men's game between Strachan and Barrow House in the Leinster Junior Football Championship quarter final, it was quite an even contest in the first half. I think it was all square at half time, but Strachan came out much the better side in the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. They were level at 5 points each. They kicked four frees in that opening half, three from Austin Allen, one from Rob Kelly, and a point from Sean O'Connor from play. They hit nine wide, three into the keeper's hand. And I think Paul Drew had alluded to it maybe after the game, that the gap between the county final and the first game back, and you often hear of teams saying that the halftime whistle came at the wrong time. In a way, it probably came at the right time for the Strachan men. The Barra House were probably the happier going in at halftime because they were facing into the second half with a strong breeze in their backs. But even though they got an early point at the start of the second half through one of their outstanding players in the day, Lee Day, they certainly kicked on from there, and they outscored them by 15 points to 5 in that second half. The Strachan played some excellent football, and it was good to see that all six of their forwards got on the scoreboard throughout the game, and it all goes well for a semi-final meeting now with Clonmore from Carlow in 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely. Let's hear then from the Strachan manager Paul Druitt speaking after the game.
Look, I'm delighted. We knew it was going to be a tough game. I think in the first half we let them in play football for us rather than playing it ourselves. We a little bit of nerves or rustiness, but like, it wasn't looking great at half time, 5 points all after playing with a fair strong wind. We know we're a good ball carrying team, and we said that it suited us playing against the breeze. We knew we did stupid things with the breeze in the first half, so we had a good shot. We shook ourselves off at half time. We said we needed to come out and play the way we normally played all year, and like, to be fair, to score 15 points to 5 in the second half and 13 of them were from play, it was a great performance in the second half.
Yeah, the full time score there was 20 points to 10 in favour of Strachan against Barrow House. Now, also on Saturday, Raheens advanced to the last four in the Leinster Ladies Junior Football Championship. They hit the back of the net three times in quick succession during a 5-9 to 1-11 win over St Ulton's in Meath, and that means now that Raheens will play O'Dwyer's of Balbriggan in Dublin in the semi-final. O'Dwyer's defeated St Martin's of Wexford 111 to 17. The Raheens manager is David O'Brien.
Yeah, I'm really, really happy with our girls. They gave everything from the start. When they opted to play four forwards, you know, it sort of gave us an option to, you know, to play, keep that defence well, and we held strong, didn't concede goals. That was our mantra, don't concede goals. We know we gave away a penalty, but that's, you know, and we got some early goals then against the wind, and that was huge for us. You know, when you get on top like that and you get that reward, then you had a platform. So even though, as towards the end of the first half, they reeled off 4 points, we had that bit of a cushion, so we still went in with 6 points ahead. So even though after they had a good run just at the end of the half.
Yeah, David O'Brien there, the Raheens ladies manager, after their win against St Ulton's of Kells on Saturday. Yesterday afternoon then, Eadstown and Kilcullen both bowed out of the Leinster Championships. And Seamus, the Eadstown game, I know you weren't at this one, you were at the Kilcullen match, but just following it on social media and listening to Tara's reports on Sunday Sports Beat yesterday, Eadstown the better side in the first half, led by 7 points at half time, but Tina Healy with some very experienced players came back and won in the end.
Yeah, probably a game that maybe Eastown should have been further ahead at the half-time break. They had plenty of chances to be further than the 7 points in front at the interval. But probably the combination of a quick start from Tina Healy to the start of the second half and the loss of Grace Clifford for 10 minutes certainly brought Tina Healy right back into the game. And it was disappointing, but, you know, Eastown have been treble Kildare senior football champions. They've made progress every year into the Leinster semi-final this year, and as disappointed as they will be today, they've really shone and
represented Kildare really well this year.
Yeah, the Eadstown manager is Brian Willis.
We were doing 7 points up at half time. I mean, we said to the girls inside, we're really in the game. We were playing good football. We played fantastic in the first half. And I did stress, I suppose, the importance of the first 15 minutes in the second half. And unfortunately, things didn't go our way. Our decision making maybe at the back sometimes let us down. And, you know, in fairness to Tinahealy, like, they're a strong side, they're very experienced. And they came with a good rattle in the second half, but we knew they would. But we just needed to hold out and be strong and stand up for that period of time. And when teams get a run at you like that, it can be very hard to stop them.
Yeah, the final score was Eadstown 210, Tinahealy 215. So victory for the Wicklow champions there, and they advance to the final. Kilcullen, they also missed out yesterday, Seamus. They lost to Screen of Meath 4-14 to 3-10 in the intermediate quarter final. Sounded like a great game, but unfortunately Kilcullen on the wrong side of the result.
Yeah, they were unfortunate, I suppose, to an extent. They started off, got the opening score from Quivig inside 2 minutes, but they were, as Wayne Middleton, the manager, said afterwards, you know, they were just stuck in the muck for the opening 10 minutes, and Screen took advantage of that to score 2-2 in a 4 minute period to move 7 points in front. And that gap, even though Kilcullen did get it back to 4 points on a couple of occasions throughout the afternoon, they just never could bridge that gap, and Screen just were that little bit stronger on the day. Very well drilled team. Mick O'Dowd, former Meath manager, senior football manager, who was over them, and you know, they were junior champions in Meath last year. They've won the intermediate this year, and they're a fine side. But that's not the take from Kilcullen, who really put up a good show. They have some very, very impressive players, and they're a team for the future, because on 21, I think, of the players that played yesterday are under the age of 21. So you can imagine that, like, those girls have tasted success at under 14, fail a level, under 16, minor, and most of them are into minor championship this week with their club. So, you know, Screen go ahead to the semi-final, but Kilcullen will be certainly a team to be reckoned with. They're Division 1 league champions and intermediate champions this year, and they'll give the senior a good go next year.
Yeah, the Kilcullen manager is Wayne Middleton.
We're devastated, really. We're heartbroken. But look, some days it goes for you, some days it doesn't. You know, you can't fault the effort and the commitment of the girls. They've been absolutely amazing last year and this year, and this is a team that's still growing and still coming together and still learning. And, you know, we're still Division 1 league champions, intermediate Kildare champions. Right now, that's not resonating with them. Right now, they're gutted because they're, you know, they wanted to go as far as they could in Leinster. They wanted to get to a Leinster final.
Yeah, hard luck to the two teams that lost out yesterday afternoon, Kilcullen and Eadstown, and well done to the Strafford men and the Raheens women for their victories on Saturday, and all clubs very, very proud of what their teams have achieved, winning the county titles, but unfortunately some not making it through to the latter stages of Leinster. Thanks to Seamus Dillon for joining us on the programme this morning with that review.